This is Grant Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Diana Furchtgott-Roth, Senior Fellow at the Hudson Institute, where she is also Director of the Center for Employment Policy. She served as a Chief Economist at the Department of Labor in the administration of President George W. Bush, and also as President Bush's Chief of Staff for the Council of Economic Advisors. She's also a columnist for RealClearMarkets.com. We want to get her reaction to the latest jobs report, more disappointing than expected. 263,000 jobs lost in the month of September, and the unemployment rate goes up a little bit to 9.8%. And Diana, thanks so much for your time today.
It's great to be with you this morning.
We expected, at least a lot of experts did, less than 200,000 jobs to be slashed in September. What do you make of the number of 263,000?
Well, the number of 263,000 is very disappointing, but unfortunately, it's just the tip of the iceberg. What people aren't telling us, what the headlines are not telling us, but what's buried in the details of the report, is that more than 500,000 Americans were so discouraged that they withdrew from the labor force, bringing the labor force participation ratio down to 65.2%. That's the percent of Americans who actually say that they are looking for work or they are working. That's the lowest since 1986. Plus, the Labor Department's most generous measure of unemployment, which includes discouraged workers, those working part-time for economic reasons, and those who are marginally attached to the labor force, rose to 17%. That's in Table A12 of the report. 55% of the unemployed have been out of a job for more than 15 weeks, and 36% have been out of work for more than 6 months. That's important because it makes it harder for these people to find new jobs due to deteriorating skills and deteriorating job networks. If that wasn't bad enough, backward revisions to the employment numbers, which the Labor Department does every year, and they call it benchmarking the numbers. They've just released the benchmark for April 2008 to March 2009. That shows an additional 824,000 people who didn't have jobs, mostly in the first quarter of this year. Total hours worked in the economy shrank by about half a percentage point, and the teen unemployment rate was almost 26%. So things were a lot worse than just 263,000 jobs lost and an unemployment rate up to 9.8%.
Well, certainly a lot of those numbers troubling, including the one you said were only about 65% of those who wanted to be gainfully employed in a full-time position essentially have what they want. The others are either part-time, not looking anymore, or actively looking and can't find anything. What's responsible for this at a time when we hear from other economists that it appears we're improving economically?
I am an economist. I have a degree from Oxford University, but I would be the first to say that economists are not very good at forecasting. At least they're not very good at forecasting the future. I mean, they didn't predict the recession. And basically, these employment forecasts are based on the previous month. So they take the previous month and they add a little bit of trend. These things are difficult to forecast, and only very senior expert people such as David Malpass at NCMA in New York said that this would be the forecast was a very rosy scenario, that things were going to be worse, which they are. And the problem with this is that if Americans don't have jobs, they don't have money, then they can't go out and spend it. And if they can't go out and spend it, then other people lose their jobs too. In other words, if you don't have money to go to a restaurant or go out and buy a new coat, then the person who runs the restaurant, who sells the store with a new coat, isn't going to have a job either. And it's very troubling that Congress is now talking about three major bills, all of which would raise unemployment. It's not understandable to me why, with these data, Congress can't focus on getting Americans back to work. Instead, they're talking about a $1 trillion health care bill that would raise taxes on the most productive Americans, would raise taxes on the most productive small businesses from the current rate of 35% to 45%. That's including a tax increase that kicks in on June 1, 2011, and a surtax to pay for health care. And that would stop these businesses from hiring. It would make more of these businesses close down. Then they're talking about a cap-and-trade energy tax, $824 billion. And we know what OPEC did to us with the energy tax, the energy price increases in the 1970s, we would be doing that to ourselves by increasing energy prices as much as the oil price rises of the 1970s. We know what happened there. There was stagflation, no economic growth, jumps in inflation, jumps in unemployment. And the third thing is the Employee Free Choice Act, which would allow unions to intimidate workers by taking away workers' rights to a secret ballot and basically forcing union membership on workers who didn't want it. That would make the price of labor rise and more unemployment. Just think about the auto plants in Michigan, Chrysler, GM, Ford, contrasting with the ones in the South, Mercedes, BMW, Nissan, Toyota. We know which are doing best, the ones in the South, which aren't unionized. So Congress needs to think about how it's going to increase employment. That means maybe a payroll tax cut to encourage employers to hire. It means a tax freeze, saying that no, taxes are not going to rise on January 1st, 2011. It means maybe a tax cut, maybe a temporary tax cut, or even a permanent tax cut, because we know what gets Americans back to work. We know what gets the economies going, not just here in the United States, but all over the world. It's tax cuts.
And for more information on Diana's analysis of what these three major pieces of legislation would do to the job pool and the job availability in this country, again, that's at realclearmarkets.com. Diana, you and I have talked about the line of discussion from the Obama administration each month as these job numbers come out. Once again, we had Vice President Biden reacting today because the president was coming back from Denmark in the Olympic effort. Vice President Biden saying that, according to many, again, economists, about 1 million jobs have been created or saved. How do we quantify that? Would it be much worse without the stimulus plan, or is that just political spin?
Well, I think it would be better without the stimulus plan. The problem about the stimulus plan is that you talk about $787 billion here, then we passed another $400 billion spending bill in March. We're talking about a $1 trillion health care plan. People are worried about these numbers, quite rightly so, because they add to the deficit, because it means that taxes are eventually going to go up to pay for them, and Congress is explicit that taxes are going to go up. All this large amount of deficit spending makes people nervous. Even President Obama's own budget in 2019 forecasts that debt as a percent of GDP is going to be 75%. That's an amazing large amount of debt and quite disproportionately high by historical standards. So the reason the stimulus hasn't worked is because these large spending increases and potential tax increases make people withdraw. They stop people from starting businesses. They make employers worried about conditions in the United States. It makes an additional plant be created abroad rather than here. Just think about the tires in China. We put the tariffs on the tire imports from China, but the domestic tire manufacturers had moved their plants out to China. That's why those plants were there, because the conditions weren't good enough to keep them here in the United States. So you can see the stimulus isn't working because it was supposed to be targeted at these infrastructure projects. Remember the shovel-ready projects, Greg? Well, employment in these kinds of high-tech equipment manufacturers, that went actually down this past month. Employment in government went down. All these sectors the stimulus bill was supposed to help did not show an increase. So I don't see how the administration could say that it saved 1 million jobs.
Last question before we let you go here, Diana, if you could offer some advice to Congress in addition to being careful or to vote against some of these major bills that are coming down the pike soon, like health care, energy, and unions, what else would you advise them to do?
Well, I would advise them to, first of all, vote to make the current tax rates permanent and not increase the taxes as they are supposed to do. The taxes are scheduled to go up on January 1st, 2011. That should be rolled back. Congress should announce it's keeping the same schedule of taxes that we have now. It's not raising capital gains rates. It's not raising income tax rates. That will give people the certainty that there are low tax rates ahead of them, and it'll give them the security to invest. Another thing that Congress should do is put its fiscal house in order and cut back on these major spending programs it has in mind. That's partly what's weakening the dollar, and a weak dollar means less investment here in the United States by foreign countries. Why would you invest in a country if you knew that its currency was depreciating and going down? Your investment would be watered down. So I would say two things: keep taxes low, keep spending low, and recovery will take care of itself.
Diana, unfortunately, we need to call time there. Thank you very much for your time and your great insight.
It's a great honor to be on your show, as always.
Thank you so much. Diana Furtscott-Roth is a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute, where she's also director of the Center for Employment Policy. In the administration of George W. Bush, she served as chief of staff for the Council of Economic Advisers and as chief economist for the U.S. Department of Labor. Her column on the health care, energy, and union bills can be found at realclearmarkets.com, where she is a regular columnist. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily. Thank you, Diana.
Thanks very much.
You bet. Have a great weekend.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.